Log Talk Radio.
To get back to what it means to rep Christ, not just on Sunday mornings, not just on a Thursday night or Wednesday night Bible study, but it needs to be something we do daily. And, you know, they say the more you do something, if you do something for 21 days consecutively, it becomes a habit. Well, we need to pray 21 days so it becomes a habit. We need to be ministered to or minister to other people 21 days. We need to constantly be about God's business on a daily basis so that we can be ready. Because we're living in the last days, and we're going to look at these. We're going to look at Proverbs 15:23, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, and also chapter 8. And we're going to look at the final hour, what it really means, to be ready for when Christ comes, whenever that may be. It could be another 20 years. It could be another 20 days. It could be 20 minutes. But most importantly, friends, we have to be assured that he is coming. And there's a real sense of urgency that we need to take heed to, because guess what, friends? Just like when you hear an ambulance or a fire truck, you know that there's an emergency going on. Well, God is singing or sounding the alarm right now for us, and we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. I see you there, Luciana. God bless you. God bless you, Tamara. God bless you. Those that's on Facebook, those that's on Periscope, God bless each and every one of you. And for those who might be here later, I want to just welcome you this afternoon for Blog Talk Radio. And those that's on Facebook Live, God bless you. The call-in number here is 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. You can call in. If you want prayer, if you have a question, you could be able to call in at the end of the show. We're going to leave enough time for you to be able to call in. So around maybe about 3:30 or 3:20 or so, we'll shut it down, and we'll be able to you can be able to call in. 646-668-8468. If you have to go and you can't watch the whole broadcast or live stream, you could be able to call in and listen while you're on your phone as you're going down the road or wherever you might be having to take care of business. I know some people at work, but we want to just let you know that the phone lines are open. All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a couple of quick announcements, then we'll get right into this lesson of the final hour. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for sounding the alarm, Lord, that it is an urgent time in our lives, Lord, as we see terrorism on the rise, as we see murder and mayhem on the rise, and the love of most waxing cold, Lord God. For the believer, Lord God, we shouldn't fret. We shouldn't waver in our faith, Lord. It just should take us to a deeper and more personal, intimate time of our faith and prayer and worship and study of God's word, Lord, because you have told us these things would take place. And, Lord, we see that hell is breaking loose on earth, but we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you told us you have not given us the power of fear, but of a sound mind. And, Lord God, we can trust and know that your children, as your children, we are taken care of. We are already seated in heavenly places, and we don't have to fear the grave. But right now, Lord, it's our opportunity for those of us who know you, Lord God, to be equipped so that we can be ready, that we can be those emergency sirens, Lord, that we can share this message of hope for those who are hopeless, those who are in their sin and who need a doctor, who need a physician. All of us are significant, Lord God, as we surrender our will and let your will be done. We shouldn't want to wait to the pastor or try to take anybody to the church. We should take people to the cross, and we do that by giving them the hope, the message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now it's time for us, Lord, to grow up, to share this faith that we claim that we have, so we can be prepared to give every man an answer for the reason and hope that lies within them with meekness and with respect. We thank you for this time, Lord. May I decrease, may you increase, and may the Spirit of God speak to us all. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you and say amen, amen, amen. Hey, again, welcome, welcome, welcome. I see you there, 310-500. God bless you. Ingle, coming from L.A., bless you, bless you, bless you. Hey, for those that don't know, friends, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you're looking for a Bible-believing church, a Bible-based church, it's time for you to come out to Core Church of L.A., where you can be blessed, you can be encouraged, you can use your spiritual time, talent, and treasure for the glory of God. I want to invite you out this Thursday night, as we're going through the book of Romans. Pastor Steve Wilburn is a pastor there, and he's bringing forth some mighty good vittles, some mighty good some food for the soul, and you can come and be blessed at Core Church, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034, at 7:30 p.m. Pretty soon, at the end of the summer, they will be starting the women's courses back up for those ladies who are in the Southern California area. You can go and be blessed with Sister Lori, who is Pastor Steve's wife, and other women who are teaching God's word and teaching it on a for the ladies from a biblical perspective for women. Women, issues that women go through. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're in the Los Angeles area, come join us this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Also on Sundays, we have three services, 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 12:30 p.m. It's an opportunity for you to come out and be blessed in the Word of God. And I want to just say, if you can't get there, hey, check out the 11 o'clock service live stream on Core Church LA. .org app, and you can also go to the Core Church LA Bible app. It's an app. You can be able to take it with you. If you're not in LA, you can be able to get fed, spiritually speaking, from God's church, Core Church, from Pastor Steve, and I want to encourage you to do that. And there's so many other pastors I could recommend. If you're not in, if you're looking for a Bible teaching church in your area, please reach out to me on Facebook or on Periscope email at dkendricksr at gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at dkendricksr65 on Twitter, so you can be able to reach out to me. And if you need help finding a Bible-based church, please, I would love to help you do that, for you can be able to get into it. And friends, don't tell me, oh, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to go to church. No, that's just disobedience, friends. That's just disobedience. If God said he didn't want to be God one day, what would you say about that? You know, we act like we, you know, we got to give up a few hours of our Sunday. We done did something. Really? You know, God gave up his life. He gave up his son, Jesus Christ, for our sin. And we should want to spend some time not only with him and hear the word of God that he's bringing through the messenger, but we should also want to be there to edify and encourage other brothers and sisters, because we're not just there for us. It's not for us just to go and get the word. It's for us to be there and be servants and to be able to be used by God in the body of Christ. Amen? So I want to just encourage you and admonish you and lovingly exhort you to, hey, find you a Bible teaching church. That's what God calls us to. He says, do not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And it's about family. It's about community. Amen? So I want to encourage you with that. All right. Let's get into the word. And again, friends, I want to thank you guys for being here. God bless each and every one of you. Again, 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. For those who would like to call in, you can call in. And we're not going to be here. We'll be finished. At least I might not finish this whole lesson today. I'm not going to tell you I will. For those of anybody that know me, know that I can drag it on. But we will say this. We're going to try to do our best, and we will get out of here. We will be done by 3:30. I can say that much. And then for those who would like to call in, if you want prayer, if you have a comment or a question or something I can help you with, it's time you would have the opportunity to call in. But let's get into this. I want to just come with this. Pastor Troy Brewer gave this outline. He says, there are a small group of people around the world in civilized countries that serve the public day in and day out and perform their duty, sometimes under uncompensated, without reservation to all injured and sick people. These men and women of all ages, race, creed, and color, whose unselfish act of devotion has improved without measure the quality and effectiveness of pre-hospital care and human life, i.e., I'm talking about the paramedics and EMTs. A lot of times we take those guys for for granted. And they're most, and a lot of the EMTs, ambulance drivers, they're the most underpaid, but they're the first line of defense when you're dealing with someone that's sick, someone that's been injured, someone that's been hurt. They get you to the hospital, but they keep you alive until you get to a doctor. A lot of times it's not even a paramedic that comes, but it's just an ambulance driver who's making maybe 12 or 13, 14 bucks. But he's got your life in his hand. She's got your life in your hand. In their hands. The term golden hour, the reason that paramedics are so important is because what happens during the first hour after an injury makes the difference between life and death. The critical period is the golden hour, and chances of survival increases dramatically if trained profession stops the bleeding, treat the injury, and restore blood pressure. And that's something. The term golden hour was originated and coined by Dr. R. Adams Cowley of the Maryland Institute for Emergency Medical Services, who is regarded as the pioneer of modern trauma care. Dr. Cowley advocated that most trauma patients die of shock, which comes from sluggish or non-existent circulation and the resulting of chemical changes in the body. He believed that most trauma patients could be saved if he could stop the bleeding and restore blood pressure within 1 hour. Patients who have been saved if he could stop the bleeding and restore blood pressure without. Most trauma patients could be saved if he could stop the bleeding and restore blood pressure within 1 hour. Patients who have been experienced or who have experienced shock for more than an hour will likely die. Surgical intervention within that 1 hour, therefore, have experienced shock for more than 1 hour will likely die. Surgical intervention with that 1 hour, therefore, is critical for increasing the patient's chance of survival. I remember when I was in the military, and we used to do this training where we had to, basically learn how to do some kind of first aid. And one of the things you had to do in your what they call battlefield training was that you had to be able to stop the bleeding of a simulated person who had been shot. You had to be able to apply pressure to them and stop the bleeding and elevate the feet. All these things were practical exercises because it was very essential for that person to be able to stay calm and for us to be able to apply the first methods of first aid until a medic could come to them. You might not have a medic out there when you were in that unit at the beginning. You might not have a medic around you at that time, but that was one of the first things they taught you of how to be able to stop the bleeding, then be able to control a person's, basically keep that person from going into shock. So this, I can relate to this. Not being a medic, but I can relate to this because it's very significant. It makes sense. So we see here that doctors understand that not only is the practice of medicine important, but the timing of that practice is critical to the survival of the patient. If the timing is not right, then all the education, all the training, all the medical knowledge in the world will not make a difference in that dying person's life. Paramedics and EMTs go through rigorous training. Unbelievable stressful situations are at work with no regard to time or season. Since death takes no holidays, neither can they. The kind of person that pursues that kind of career is the kind of person that wants to make a difference in the lives of other people. Most people, they don't get into this because it's a great paying job. They get into it because eventually they want to go on to other things in medicine. But most EMTs and ambulance drivers and these paramedics, they basically are the front line of saving, of making a difference in somebody's life, making a difference in somebody's life. This week while I was surfing the net, Pastor Troy says, this week while surfing the net for information on this study, I came across a poem by an unknown author that talks about the heart of an emergency paramedic. He says, "Sorry if we woke you in the middle of the night, for someone in your neighborhood is fighting for his life. Sorry if we block the road and make you turn around, but there's been a bad wreck with a dying children on the ground. When you see us coming, we hope you'll understand. Let us have the right of way. Somebody needs a hand. We don't do it for the money. You know we don't get paid, We do it for the glory for we don't do it for the glory for a life that might be saved. Somewhere deep within our souls are crying out. Somewhere deep inside our souls, someone is crying out. I think when we look at this, how it lines up with the ministry, when it lines up with people who have a heart for God, have a heart for the body of Christ, have a heart for church, for the people of God, and have a heart for lost souls. Friends, we are living in a post-Christian world where there is so much selfishness going on. There's so much lovelessness going on, but we are the paramedics of the church. The pastor is not the paramedic of the church. The paramedics of the church are those on the front line ready to go out and make disciples every day, those who are ready to lift them up and encourage the brokenhearted. And, friends, we have to know the importance of our job. It's important for us to realize how much God wants to use us as the first echelon to touch a soul. The pastor's job is to fix up that wounded. He already has the answer, the prognosis. But we're to give them the message of hope, which is the gospel. We are the ones that stop the bleeding. We're the ones that bring forth this message of getting them out of shock, taking them out of the shock. Just like he said back here, that if we can just, you know, if we can, the first hour is important. And we need to understand that the hour in the body of Christ, it's not a literal hour, it's an hour of importance and urgency. Notice what we were told back here, how God refers to the hour. He says we need to be aware in 1 John 2, he tells us in verse 17, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. This is how we know it is the last hour. Friends, are we not living in the days of the Jim Jones and the David Koreshes and many other false apostles and false prophets who come in his name, deceiving, and come here with a false antidote of hope? They come here to teach us something that the Bible does not teach us. In verse 19, we're told they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their departure made it clear that none of them belong to us. There are many people in the skies, many false sheep coming in as wolves, as sheep in wolves' clothing, and they come in, pastors coming in, claiming to be prophets of God, but they're no longer, they only came to make a profit off of you. They came to teach you doctrines of demons. They came to lead you away from the cross. There's an emergency, my friends, and we're in the last hour, and it's time for the body of Christ to stand up and be a voice, to speak the truth. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to give an answer for the reason and hope for those who are perishing. We can't do that if we're not equipped. We can't do that if we're not ready. We cannot do that if we're sitting on the sideline waiting for somebody else to get it done. This real sense of urgency, friends, is going on all around us. Many people are dying all around us. We're here. We're here to help our neighbors. That's what God called us to do. He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How do we do that? How do we do that when we're not willing to be that medical service for those who are dying and perishing, those who are living their life in the lie? And we're afraid to tell them because we don't want to, I don't want them to be angry at me. I don't want them, they're going to be angry at you anyway. They can be angry at you just because you stand up for Christ. We're here to help our neighbors in their hour of pain and doubt. God gave us something special to help help us see you through. We do it because we love you and we care for you. The poem is beautiful to the obvious selflessness of a special group of healthcare professionals. These same exact words should apply to us as Christians, to the church of this generation. Oh, friends, we're living in a time where people don't care about other people anymore. We say we love everybody, but that's only on Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, we're not even making ourselves available. We won't call a brother. We won't call a sister. We won't call an unbeliever and ask them how they doing. And just to say, I'm praying for you. See, when people are going through some things and their life is all turned upside down, you who are a Christian, they want to call on you when they got some problems, friends. But are you going to be available to minister to them? Are you going to be equipped to give them the answers that they need and the hope? Can you tell them about this Jesus that you say you have, this Jesus that you say you know? Or is Jesus just somebody that you pull out your pocket on Sunday, or you take him, he only comes and appears when you carry your Bible into the quote-unquote church building? It's time for us to start being what God called us to be, an emergency help in a time of despair, in a time of trouble, friends. This is a time for the body of Christ to wake up and to be an ambulance, to be an EMT emergency. We're living in days of apostasy. We're living in days of apostasy. He says, when you see the coming, when you see us coming, we hope you'll understand. Let us have the right of way. Somebody needs a hand. We don't do it for the money. You know we don't get paid. We do it. We don't do it for the glory, but for a life that might be saved. Somewhere deep within our souls are crying out. Somewhere deep within our souls are crying out. We're here to help our neighbors in their hour of pain and doubt. God gave us something special to help us see you through it. We do it because we love you. We care about you too. I see all the time how that God has not called the church to be an old folks home for saints, but rather a first aid station for sinners, an emergency room for the lost and dying, a capable place for critical and intensive care directed by the great physician, the great I am, the great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But just like those hospitals, I recognize the church will never make a difference in the lives of people if we are not willing to quickly respond to the shock and to the confusion that is in this world. We have got to realize that the timing of our ministry is crucial to the survival of so many people, and God is raising us up to be a spiritual paramedic to the people of your families, your workplace, and even your generation. Friends, are you selfish? Are you and I so selfish that we don't care about people? We don't care about lost souls. See, it's easy to talk to another brother that knows Jesus, but how about the one that never, ever had a personal relationship and met this great physician? How about the one who is dying of spiritual cancer and they don't know what to do? They've tried religion, but they have never heard the message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man that would come to him, no man that comes to the Father. None of us can come to him by way of our own self, our own religion. We must come by way of Christ. Natural character traits of a paramedic. In the natural, look, you have some pride in that. You got people that's in this business of being a paramedic, or even doctors, physicians. These people can be some of the most prideful people on the planet because they believe they have a God complex. Well, this is not the attitude of a child of God who understands that humility was a gift from God. When God broke us, when he called us out of darkness, he broke down the pride. He basically comes to us, and we come to him realizing that we're a beggar in need of bread. The natural character traits of paramedics, cocky, bold, presumptuous. Doctors don't call them paramedics. They call them paragods. Because a good paramedic has an attitude that no matter what situation they face, they will be able to handle. No matter what kind of circumstances they meet, they will overcome it. No matter the condition of the patient they encounter, they believe they will prevail. Oh, yes, they got some cockiness. They got some pride. But they're confident, though. They're very confident in what they do. They're trained for these situations. You imagine somebody being in a 7 or 8 car accident. Would you not want someone who is confident to put the IV in the first time instead of sticking you 40 times? Or someone has to stick you 15 times? Would you not want him to find a vein or her to find a vein immediately to run an IV to get you fluids in your body? Of course you do. You want somebody. I've been in the hospital quite a bit, friends. I've had enough IVs, and I've had some people who have stuck me too many times. But I've had that one person that could come in, and they could find that vein. As dim as my veins are, they could find that vein and be able to get it one time. Hallelujah. Because they're confident in what they do. They practice their trait. They master what they do. The world needs Christians just like that. Spiritual paramedics that respond quickly to the wretched lives of people around. Dedicated Jesus freaks that aren't afraid of the hell that's in other people's hearts and minds. See, when you and I are born again, friends, and when we realize that God has given us this gift of grace, this love relationship that we no longer have, we used to didn't have. When we used to be separated from God, but now we are now His people. When we once weren't a people, now we are His called out ones, His ecclesia, His bride. Friends, we can boast in the cross. We can boast in the cross. We don't have to fight no more. We don't fight against God. God has given us everything that we need. Hate this. Jesus. It's okay. We're going to keep it moving. Oh, I tell you what. Had a little problem with my Facebook Live, but we're going to keep it moving. It's all right. Praise God. We're back. But anyway, yeah. The world needs Christians just like these paramedics who are kind of cocky, but at the same time they're confident in what they do because they know their job. They know what they're capable of doing. They know their limitations, but their job is to get you from point A to point B. But during that point A, they're there to keep you alive before you get to point B. The world needs Christians just like this. Spiritual paramedics that respond quickly to the wrecked lives of people around. Dedicated Jesus freaks that aren't afraid of the hell that's in other people's hearts and minds. Christians who believe, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do all things based on myself. I can't do all things based on my limited knowledge. But I can do all things when I come before, when I'm you asking God to use me. You know, I drove trucks for 30 years. I was a pretty good truck driver. I've been a pretty good truck driver. I haven't had any major accidents. I had one incident, and it wasn't an accident due to my own fault, but I was up in the Dallas area, and I went up under a train trestle, and there was a piece of metal hanging down, and that piece of metal caught a hold of my dry van and rolled it back like a sardine. I mean, it just peeled it back. When I came from under there, it had no walls, no support whatsoever, and I had air conditioning units. Oh, that was a horrible day. And I didn't get charged for it. I didn't get a ticket because I wasn't in the wrong. That piece of metal just happened to catch because my truck was light and it was kind of sitting up high. It was another truck went up under there that was heavy and it pressed down. it had low suspension, but I was raised up kind of high. I was only maybe about 25,000 pounds. You know, you can max around 50. But anyway, again, I was a pretty good truck driver before I had to go out on disability. You know, I followed the rules of the road. I didn't run over people. I didn't run people off the road. But have you ever seen any truck driver's accidents? Have you ever seen what a truck looks like after it's been rolled over or fell in a ditch? I remember going through parts of, I was coming out of Blytheville, Arkansas, coming up I-55. Going and coming, I've seen accidents, especially in the wintertime when they get some real bad ice and storm. People run off that road all the time going up from out of Arkansas back up into Tennessee. And friends, I mean, it's a really bad. It can be a very icy road. It can be a very dangerous road. And I've seen where, hey, it's 15 cars piled up and a bunch of trucks that ran off and been turned over, flipped over. It takes emergency vehicles and some very heavy-duty equipment to come and lift that truck back up. Those people have to know their jobs, too, and it's a matter of time because that driver could be seriously injured, and then he's got to seek some medical attention. God is calling us all, friends, as believers. He's calling us all to be prepared for emergencies. There are lives in the balance. Souls are in the balance right now because of there's a lack of faithful spiritual paramedics out here. We got a lot of people attending church, friends. They come to church. They're carrying their Bibles. Unfortunately, they're not equipped to give out the antidote, that medicine that's needed at that moment. They're not equipped to be ready to give an answer for those who are perishing. Again, we see here in 2 Corinthians 3:5, he says, our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Remember, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, God's grace is sufficient for me. See, when God's grace is sufficient for me, I'm not nothing in and of myself. I'm not here to lift me up. I'm here to lift up the name that's above all names. And everything that I do for his, for the kingdom, I got to do in the power of his spirit. I don't boast in myself. Neither should you boast in yourself. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Jesus, friends, it's all about Jesus. Everything we do as paramedics for the gospel, for the King of Kings, because remember, there's an hour. This is the final hour, friends. Christ is coming back soon, and we have to determine, are we here for ourselves for these last days? Are we still trying to get what's in it for us? Do we still have the me-itis? Or are we S-I-N, selfish individual nobodies, who basically look for our own, what's in it, what's our agenda? Are we the ambulance driver that's just passing on by and we see souls dying in the street and we just say, oh, let Joe get it. He'll minister to him. We got family members that we won't even talk to about the cross. We got family members we're afraid to tell them that Jesus Christ loves them and that he died for them and he rose again and he's coming back. Are they ready? I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again because I don't mind telling on myself. Because I own my mess. Because, see, that's transparency. I remember back in 2011, my platoon sergeant, he was my platoon sergeant back at Fort Sam, and we parted ways after when we went to Desert Storm. He went to Korea, and I went to Desert Storm, and he ended up leaving. But, in 2011, he was sick in 2010, 9-10, and into 2011, he had been on dialysis for a while, and me and my family at the time, we used to go down to San Antonio. They would come up to Houston, and he would have to if he was going to come up to Houston, he would have to make an appointment for a dialysis at another place. And, you know, for those who understand what dialysis is, you know, it's a daily thing. But eventually, he tried three different swaps, His body rejected all three, and he had to go through this, you know, this whole process. And I remember going down there in January, and we were supposed to go back again in February. A couple weeks later, it was like less than 3 weeks, he passed away. He had a heart attack, a massive heart attack, and he ended up passing away. And he was gone. Now, as a believer, it hurt me more that this particular incident took place because I had an opportunity to talk to my brother, my friend, and now he had an opportunity to see me before the cross, and then he had an opportunity to see me after the cross, and I was preaching and doing my blog, doing this radio ministry, and so he had heard the message, but I never did talk to him one-on-one about, Harry, hey, man, I know we done been through a lot, we done did a lot of dirt and blah, 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 but are you prepared, man, if the worst case happened, if you don't get a kidney? Are you prepared for your final destination? And I had the opportunity on a Saturday prior to me leaving that next day. I had an opportunity to share with him, to talk with him, and to plead with him or to come up under, to be that paramedic to my brother and tell him, hey, man, I just want you to know, man, that, hey, the door is open right now, man. I don't want nothing to happen to you. I don't want to come back here and bury you one day and not know where you're going to be because you haven't made it right with God. Well, friends, I had to live with that because I had to do his funeral not knowing if he had made it right with God, not knowing if he had given his life to Jesus Christ once and for all, saying, Lord, take me and my sin. That's the hardest feeling. That's the most painful conviction anyone can ever or will ever experience if you understand or if you have a heart for souls. Because I had to preach this man's funeral with another pastor. I had to preach his funeral, and I wasn't sure where he's at. And that's hard. See, you can go and preach a funeral. You can go and give comfort to people who have a relationship with God. You can go and give comfort to people that have lost somebody, and they know that that person, they will see them again one day. You can go and give comfort to somebody that has been walking with God, and you've seen the fruit of their labor. You've seen their lifestyle. They have changed from the caterpillar into the butterfly, and they were no longer that wretched sinner, but they have been a resurrected saint. That right there, friends, is the metamorphosis that we talk about. That's the regeneration. That's to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and your sins are forgiven, and you have been made right. Because look, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, Christ has already conquered the grave. And because he's conquered the grave, friends, you and I are no longer under the condemnation of sin. We are now his friend. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Your family and your friends need a Christian with the blessed assurance of the truth of God, a spiritual confidence that says, come, hell or high water, I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. Or as a spiritual physician named Paul once said, see, friends, we don't have to fear the grave, but we need to be telling others about how to come out of the grave. We need to tell them that the opportunity now is for salvation. The opportunity for us now is today is the day of salvation, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. This is the last hour, my friends. Remember, Jesus himself said it too. Don't we say, many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. We're living in that hour. Are we not seeing false prophets everywhere? Everybody's a prophet. But all I see them doing is holding their hands out for more money, more money, more money. But what are they doing for you? What kind of encouragement are they doing for you? What kind of spiritual manner are they bringing to you? Big mega churches, mega mess, mega domes, mega dooms. They don't care about you. If you come with an empty wallet, you won't get much love from him. If you come there to seek some spiritual help, what are you gonna get from them? They don't know nothing about being a physician. They don't know the great physician. They don't know the great physician. All they know is money, money, money. I need more money. I need more money. Is it worth it for me? Paul, pastor said I was going to get a blessing if I sold into this ministry. Pastor said I was going to get a big car, a big house, a white picket fence, and a dog named Fluffy. Really? Are you really going to get that? Where does it say that in the Bible? Matthew 24:24, false Christ and false prophets will appear before great signs and wonders, performing great signs and wonders, my friends. Have you met any? Are those the ones that say, oh, they want to lay hands on you? You got to be careful when you lay hands on you, friend. Who are you allowing to lay hands on you? 646-668-8468. Who are you allowing to lay hands on you these days? The hands might be filthy. The hands might be stained. These false prophets might be children of the devil. You got to be careful who you let in your inner circle when it comes to the walk of Christ. You have to be discerning. Be wise. Judge that. Test that. Make sure it's of God. Just let anybody just come up. You don't see pastors just letting anybody in their pulpit, even though some of them let snakes in there. I'm talking about men of wisdom, wise men who take their calling serious. They don't just let anybody stand in their pulpit. Why? Because they are accountable to God. Oh, well, he's a big monkey muck. He's somebody in this state. He's somebody in that state. Really? We all zeros. I'm a dirtbag. I don't deserve nothing. Jesus Christ is the hero. I'm the zero, and I give him all the praise and honor and glory. I don't want nobody thinking I'm anything. I'm nobody. As long as I stay low, then God has raised me up. The moment I start to smell myself and think I've arrived, I'm in trouble. Lord, keep me humble. Keep me hungry. Keep me faithful. Keep me fed. That's what I want. That's what I want. Keep me hungry. Let me always desire your word. Too many saints pretending to be saints. And it's really now, it's a time for us, friends, to really just really examine ourselves and see, hey, how important are we? Are we trying to be part of this emergency service that God wants to use? We're all vital for his kingdom. He said the laborers, he says the field was right, but the laborers are so few. The field is right. And we need to be prepared. Romans 8:38, he says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of these things, not one of them, is going to separate us. Your death will not separate you. If you have died once, you will live for eternity already. Now, if you never died to your sin, if you have not been crucified with Christ and resurrected in him, then friends, you got a second death to look forward to, or you need to get saved. It's time for you to come to the cross. It's time for you to realize there's a real urgency. There's a real medical issue need to be addressed, and that issue is sin. Your sin needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with ASAP, because tomorrow is not promised to you, my friend. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. The real sense of urgency, the response is, they respond quickly to the pain and the distress of others. They know that timing is a crucial, and they will not be delayed when it's time to move. They believe things like 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. you and I need to realize. Do you realize when the ambulance or the paramedics or the fire department, when they get a call, immediately the horn goes off. Everybody must get on board. Everybody must get their gear on and get ready. It's time to go because there's an emergency going on. And right now there's an emergency going on in the land. Friends, souls are dying around us. And we as the children of God need to step up and take our emergency gear and be ready to serve. Be ready to give an answer for the reason and hope that lies within us with meekness and with respect. Again, 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Or as Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, friends, there's going to come a night time. That day will come when Christ comes back for his church, comes back for his bride. Then it won't be no more time to talk. It won't be a time where God will use you. You need to be wanting to be used today. You need to be available today. You need to be equipped today. Be ready to give an answer today. I don't come here to for anybody to pat me on the back. I just want you to thank God for you and me. I'm just a vessel. I'm nobody better than you. I'm not greater than you. I don't claim to be holier than you. I'm just a man that has surrendered my life to him, and I'm still surrendering. Every day is a day of grace. Every day is his new mercies upon me, because I know that any given moment that I could go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, I could go back to that world if I don't guard myself, if I don't pick up my cross daily and walk with him, I could go back. That's why you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a light thing to just, oh, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what does that mean? What does that really mean? Because sanctification means I'm set apart, not for me anymore, but for his glory. And it doesn't mean I can't enjoy things down here, but what is my priority? What is my bent? Am I more like Christ, or am I trying to be more accepted in the world? Am I trying to get more favor from man, or am I trying to bring God more glory out of me? I want him to get the glory. Yeah, sometimes I get a little discouraged that I don't see a lot of people on my blog, on my page, but at the same time, I know that, hey, people in these last days, they don't want to hear the sound doctrine. They don't want nobody that's going to speak the truth. A lot of times they want people that's going to tickle their ears. So, again, friends, it's emergency time. It's time for, see, when you have the truth, the truth ain't always going to be accepted. Do you know that people go to the doctor and the doctor tells you got cancer and you say, well, I'm not going to take the antidote. I'm not going to take any help. I don't want you to fix on me. I don't want you to do this. Don't give me that. I'm just going to pray about it. Well, prayer is good, and I got no problem with prayer. But guess what, friend? Let's not even put it with cancer. Let's just say your leg is hanging off. It's bleeding. Well, obviously, prayer is not going to make your leg metamorphose and just attach itself back together. They're going to have to stop the bleeding, or you're going to bleed out. Telling somebody, well, no, I'm just trusting the Lord by faith that he's going to heal my leg. Well, by faith, he got the ambulance driver there to you. By faith, they're stopping the bleeding and bandaging you up until they get you to the hospital. By faith, the doctor's going to do whatever is necessary to stop the bleeding because maybe a main artery is been compromised, and that artery will bleed out and cause you to go into, what, to basically die. So therefore, God has already worked, and your faith was, you realized that, hey, by faith, God was there. See, just because he didn't miraculously attach it together didn't mean he wasn't there. He made sure that you got there right on time to the hospital because maybe a few minutes later, and you would have went into a coma. We don't look at this biblically. We don't look at the urgency of the fact that people are dying all around us. Look, friends, do you realize that now there are a great number of Muslims great number of Muslims, God is bringing them into the fold. A great number of, once upon a time, they were separated from God. They did not want to hear about this Jesus, but they have met him. And they're now coming to faith in Jesus Christ, and they're starting to realize that Islam was a lie. And now they're being persecuted for the faith. They realize that there are people in Pakistan and India, great revivals breaking loose around the world where people, where we take it for granted. We have thousands of churches you can go to. Nobody's stopping you from going to church here in America. But guess what? The Church of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the church where the Word of God is the final authority, those churches are far and few in these last days, friends. Those churches are far and few. Oh, you got a lot of churches, churches on every corner in some neighborhoods. But where's the power of the Holy Spirit? See, when you see a church on every corner in inner cities, and you see drug dealers, prostitutes, pimps, thugs, still selling dope in front of these places we call quote-unquote churches, and you see people sitting there to be comfortable when church service is going on, they sell dope, women pimp themselves out. When you see this going on in front of the so-called church, there's a problem in the neighborhood. See, because if my people would humble themselves, who are called by my name, he says, and would humble themselves. See, if you have four churches on a corner and they really spirit-filled, why aren't the dope dealers fearing you? Because God is in you. See, when you see the power of the Holy Spirit working in hand, that means that God will go out and he will remove your enemies. Ain't no way a dope dealer or a thug or a gangbanger should be comfortable in a neighborhood where the Holy Spirit is present because God's people are there and they're walking in the power, in boldness. They're not just there for a religious festival. They're spirit-filled. They're on fire for God. Not just, they didn't have to come to church to get pumped up. They came to church to pump up other people. That's what happens when you're walking in faith, friends. See, when everybody is filled up all week long, you continue to fill your tank. You continue to fill me. Lord, fill me with your spirit, your power. Lord, I need you, Lord God. We don't walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And Lord, we need you right now in the power of your resurrection to empower us, Lord God, to do amazing works in this neighborhood. Drive out the evil. Drive out the drug dealers. See, when you do that, when you're standing on God's word like that, you can move mountains. See, that's what we call faith that moves mountains. Not this old, I spoke to this and I'm claiming that. How about claiming some sin out of your neighborhood? How about claiming sin out of your house? See, we can't claim nothing, friends, till we clean our own house up first. People are here claiming this and claiming that, and they won't even claim the basic thing. How about claiming sin out of your life? I need to claim sin out of my life before I can speak up on yours. Remember, it's an emergency service going on, friends. We got spiritual ambulances all around us. And, friends, it's sad that so many churches in America are dead. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed these places. Why? Because the pastor no longer fears God, and he no longer preaches an uncompromised gospel. He preaches gossip. He preaches goobers and cotton candy messages. He all about how much money he made versus how many souls got saved. But we want to talk about, our church is growing. Oh, yeah, you can get a bunch of heathens to come in. You can get a bunch of heathens to come in and be entertained every Sunday. They'll come back next Sunday because you're not convicting them with the message of the gospel. You're not bringing a message with power and conviction. You're not telling them, hey, come out of that sin. Stop shacking up. No, fornication is not okay with God. See, in today's church, friends, the new I do is let me shack up with you. I don't have to be committed to anybody. I'm not committed to God. I'm not committed to the church. And I'm definitely not going to be committed to this man or woman. So anytime I get ready to go, anytime I don't want to be here, guess what I'm going to do? I'm taking off. As soon as I find a bigger and better deal along, maybe she'll do more for me, he'll do more for me, I'm out. So I will move from house to house to house to house, church to church to church. I'll even move from Savior to Savior to Savior, which is not another Savior, but basically I'll just jump religion all over. I got all kinds of religions I'm involved in. I'm involved in whatever it is that's going to fit my fix for the day. No, friends, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. Look, friends, we are living in a time of emergency, and until the body of Christ sees this emergency as it is and sees the need for us to be about our Father's business, then guess what? We're going to continue to spiral in America. America is spiraling down. America is spiraling down, and we're seeing more and more of this apostasy going on. These doctrines of demons. There should always be a work that you are finishing up for God, a work that you are in the middle of, and a work that you are planning on doing. Some of the paramedics that are led by the Spirit, listen to this. When God begins to put somebody on your heart, you need to obey the word right then. In other words, hey, if somebody calls you and say, I'm going through something, don't tell them you're going to pray for them. Pray for them then. So immediately, stop right there. Hey, I don't care if you're typing it or if you're talking to them on the phone, if they say, hey, can you pray for me? If you're a spirit-filled Christian, it shouldn't take you, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then later on you forget. That's not being faithful. God gave that person, put that person in your life for you to be that paramedic for the day, to be that mission for the day. You're that missionary for the day. See, today you might be a missionary for this person, tomorrow for another person. You don't know what God is going to do until you start being used by God. Obey the word right then. You pray for that person, or you call that person, or you encourage that person, or you give the word to that person, and don't let yourself get delayed because timing is critical. You don't know if you're going to have to go to a funeral tomorrow. Like I said before, friends, you do not want to miss an opportunity to share this message of hope. Give them the antidote, the gospel of Jesus Christ today. That way your conscience is clear that you did what God told you to do. We're not called to save anybody, but we are called to give them the message that saves. We're called to give them the message of hope, and that message is in Christ. Pastor Tom tells us, he tells us he talks about this C-130 accident, the time that God gave him a word to give, Todd Daniel said, he said, there was a time in Mineral Wells, and I've been to Mineral Wells, it's out there in Death Valley, there was a C-130 accident. The time that God gave him a word to give Missy about a house at 11 p.m. at night. The time that in 1986 when he was out of his mind with grief and he had just begun to seek the Lord and all hell in his life had been beaten him down to the point of utter hopelessness, a wave of depression had come over him that he couldn't even describe. And the previous years of refusing to walk with God had led him to a pit of despair. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever took a hiatus from God and found yourself on an island, not in fellowship with God? He still loves you. He's still been giving you grace, but you took a hiatus. I don't know however long it might have been, but God wants you to come back. See, God didn't make us to be lone strangers, Christians. He didn't make us to be islands out there by ourselves. No, we are community. We're a fellowship. We're a body of believers. And when we come together, friends, we're powerful. So it's nothing like having the body of Christ to stand with you in the gap in prayer. If you call a bunch of brothers and sisters up and say, hey, I'm going through hell in my house. I'm going through hell in my marriage. I'm going through hell in this relationship and that relationship. But you got the body of Christ, the believers, the ecclesia coming alongside you, lifting you up in prayer, and it's going to the throne room of grace in heaven. Who better than to comfort you? Who Who better to stand with you? And you don't need a million people. You just need faithful people. You need faith. If God is for you, who can be against you? Remember, we're more than conquerors. He also speaks of a hay farming incident accident. He says, I remember when Leanne and I first got married, I had made a deal to live in this man's house in exchange for being a slave or a servant on the weekend. Mr. Stacy, an agricultural professor at TCJC, told me several weeks after the first cut that we had to do the cure on a certain day that fell in the middle of the week. He's talking about hay and the dynamics of how important it was to cut that hay at a certain time. He says, I asked him why we couldn't do the cut on the weekend, and he told me that after 27 days, the hay began to lose its nutritional value, and you have to harvest it during that small window of time. The day begins to lose its value, so you could cut after that, but the harvest yield would not be the same. It wouldn't be as valuable. Notice with God how he puts this in perspective. When God tells you to encourage, to witness, to minister to somebody, don't be lazy about it. Do it right then. Proverbs 10:5 says that a son that sleeps in harvest time causes shame. A son or daughter that's been called to ministry, and we all who are born again have a ministry, guess what? When you sleep, you miss the harvest. Says Proverbs 10:5 says that a son that sleeps in harvest time causes shame. You're not woken. You're not available. Everybody's out there laboring, but you're sitting there sleeping. You're too busy worried about yourself and your needs and what's in it for you. How are you going to benefit? Oh, I bet you want to eat, but you don't want to go out there and be a part of the and farm. You don't want to be a part of the work. This is spiritual speaking now. We're called to be laborers. He says, the harvest is plentiful. This whole world needs Jesus. There's billions of people on this planet that do not have a relationship with the biblical Jesus. There are millions of people on this planet who have a form of godliness, but they have denied the power and the resurrection. Proverbs 15:23, how sweet is a word spoken in due season. Friends, we have to ask ourselves this. We have to ask ourselves this. Are we laborers? Are we emergency aid for those who are in darkness? Emergency aid for those who are dying spiritually because they have not received the medicine from the great physician that is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we aid for those who spiritually might die in their sin? We're the first line that God wants to use. We're the EMTs. We're the EMTs of this world. The disciples. He wants to use us in a mighty way to bring people out of darkness, to shine light on their sin, that they may repent and turn from their sin and turn to the cross of Christ. Let's look at more about this as we close up of what a paramedic and an ER physician is not. Geared towards specialized medicine. An ambulance, an emergency room, is well stocked with tools and equipment for every situation. They are not just equipped for heart problems. For heart problems, if so, then they can help a burn victim. If all they can handle is broken bones, then they are irrelevant to someone that had eternal bleeding. You as a Christian, I as a Christian, we are the church, should be just like that. We need to be trained by the Word of God, not just in one specific area of somebody's life or one time or season, but rather we should have a ready word, a relevant answer to whatever season a person is in. The Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season. That's not just for the pastor. That's not just for the pastor. That's not just for the evangelist. That's not just for the missionary people. That's for all of us to be ready in season and out of season. Me and one of my buddies back in Houston used to always joke about, he said, you know, as a pastor, he said, as a preacher, he said, you need to have one in your holster and one on standby. Always be ready. If somebody calls you to preach at the last minute, you should be ready. You should be equipped. You should have one ready to go. Somebody got sick. All right, thank you, Lord. And if you are a Christian, if you are a spirit-filled brother or sister, and you're empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be walking in the Spirit so you can be ready to bring forth a message with authority and power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. Dudamas. Look, friends, hey. I'm no better than nobody. I'm no different than anybody. This is my calling. This is what I don't know what God's going to do with me. I don't know if he ever give me a church. Hey, time is running out. I could care less if I ever have a church. The church is the world. There's a field of people and souls all around the world. And guess what? I got the greatest church and audience I could ever have because I have the opportunity to speak into lives around the world. And I don't know where these messages might go, but I know one thing. Because of the love of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And friends, because God has given us eternal life, because he's given you eternal life, he's given me eternal life, he's given us also a boldness and a desire and a heart for those who are dead in their sin, those who do not have life. There are many dead men walking. I use the allegory, or I use the analogy, I'm a big Walking Dead fan. And I think about those zombies, and I think about the world that I live in, and we live in a world full of zombies. Oh, they're walking and talking, they're working, they're out there partying like it's 1999. Oh, everything they're doing, they seem to be doing great, but really, friends, they're dead. They're zombies. And what they need is a revival. They need the message of hope. They need a message that will regenerate them and make them into a new creation where the old falls off. They will no longer be enemies of the cross of Christ, but they can be brought into the fold. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow another shepherd. They're strangers, they're not going to follow. Friends, are you following the great shepherd? Are you following what he told you to do? What he told you and I to do? Let's look at it. At this in closing, he tells us here, you as a Christian and we as a church should be just like that. We need to be trained by the word of God. And that's where discipleship comes in. That's why it's so important to be disciple. It's so important for us to be equipped, to be ready to have to give an answer for the reason and hope that lies within us with meekness and with respect. It's important for us to be ready at all times, friends. When someone asks us, why do we believe in this Jesus, we can honestly say we believe in him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's proven himself from the grave, friends, because he's no longer in the grave. We're no longer dead in our sins and trespasses, but we've been resurrected. I'm not going to die. I'm going to leave earth, but I'm not going to die. My body, this old tent, is going to die one day, but I'm not going to die. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, he says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Number 5, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to loose. And a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And a time of war and a time of peace. Friends, all of these are significant to our life. Also, we see this If there's a time and a season to everything for purpose of God, then there's a word for every time, a word for every season for the purpose of God, a word of direction during seasons of birth and new beginnings, a word for consolation during seasons of death, a word of sowing during the time of a time to plant, a word of harvest during the time to pluck up, which is planting, a word of warfare and victory during a time to kill, a word of reconciliation during a time to heal, a word of dismantling strongholds during time to tear down, and a word of repairing the breach during a time to build up. A relevant word for whomever strays from the throne. Friends, as we look at how important it is for the ambulance driver and the paramedic and the doctors and the natural, how much more important is our job? How much more important is the job that God has given each and every one of his children who have been called by his name to stand up for the cross of Christ, to stand up for lost souls, to minister to those who are dying? So many people, so many souls, so many people are empty, spiritually empty, bankrupt. And God is still here. He's still calling sinners to repentance, and he's still sending ambulance drivers to pick them up. The Bible says that God doesn't desire for anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. He wants to see sinners come out of darkness and come into the light. He wants to see that. He wants us to come. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come ye, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God wants you to come. He wants you to draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. You might say, "Brother, I've done so much. I've done so much. God will never forgive me." No, he will. He knows your sin. He knew your sin before you even got here. He knew what sin you and I would commit. He knew what sin we would be in bondage to. He knew what sin would own us until there would be an opportunity for us to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And right now he knows that you're convicted by your sin. He wants you to come. He wants you to come and lay your sin at the foot and embrace his forgiveness, his mercy and grace. He wants you to come right now. He wants to make you into a paramedic for souls. You might say, "Well, I'm not a good speaker." Good. Then you don't have to worry about God making you do something that you're not capable of doing. When you humble yourself, see, that's the beauty of it. God didn't ask you to come and try to do something that you couldn't do. He said, "Come and I'll equip you to do what you need to do." God wants to equip us to do what he wants us to do, because the time is, the laborers are few. The harvest is right. Souls are dying around us, friend. You don't go and take if you've been a Christian for a year, you should know how to lead somebody down the highway of glory to the cross of Christ. If Christ has saved you and equipped you and made you into a new creation, you should be able to tell somebody about this Jesus that you say you know. Oh, we're not here to just sit on our desks and do nothing. God has work for us to do. We are to be all things to all men, prepared and ready to meet whatever the devil has to offer with a cure, an antidote, a remedy, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be before you this day. We thank you, Lord God. Oh, I'm so unworthy, Lord, but thank you, Jesus, for raising me up. I boast in nothing but the cross of Christ Jesus. For I am so unworthy, Lord. Like every other human being on this planet, we are all zeros, but you are the hero. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, for using us to bring forth the antidote. Today, Lord God, we have spoken nothing but the words of heaven. We pray, Lord God, for those who do not know you right now, Lord, that are wrestling with their in their sin, wrestling in their flesh, that today would be the day that they would take off those old filthy clothes of the devil, the flesh, and the world, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be forgiven for their trespasses and sins. Today, they can get the cure for the spiritual cancer that's been plaguing their soul for all their lives. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for speaking through us and to those who would have ears to hear. And we pray, Lord God, this message will not fall on stony hearts, but it will be received by those hearts of flesh that you have already prepared before the foundations of the world, that they may receive the free gift of salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. I see we got a phone call here for from somebody. I'm going to take this phone call. But real quick, I want to again invite you and tune in the mornings on Devotional with Brother Daryl Kendrick on Periscope and Facebook Live. We're here around between 7 and 8, so look out for us. And if you've been blessed, hey, share this message. You can go into the archives on Blog Talk Radio at Minister Big Ken 65, and you can be able to share these messages with other people, and you could be able to email them out to your friends, put them on your Facebook page. Hey, we want the Word of God to go out to the world. We want the Word of God to go out to the whole wide world, and it takes all of us to be committed to do that. I share other people's messages, so, hey, do me a favor. Bless this ministry by sharing it with other people. And also, if you can, like, we need your prayers, without a doubt. I need your prayers for my health. For those that don't know, I got some health issues going on. I have heart disease. I don't know how much time I'm going to be here, but I know one thing, friends. I will be here, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ as much as possible. So please pray for me. Seeing a lot of doctors for my feet, for my kidneys, my heart, and all kinds of things, because I'm trying to get disability from the United States Army or the VA, and I'm also trying to get my disability from SSI. So please stand with us, and if you can financially support us, please go to the GoFundMe account. It's a real rough time for me when we haven't had any income, so if you can bless this ministry and bless me, I would really appreciate it. I would not be asking if I didn't have a need, but I do. So I'm just asking, and if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to do so, please be stand with us in prayer as well as your financial giving on GoFundMe. You can find that on my Facebook page, and I appreciate you. Hey, I see we got a phone call, 941-245. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick.
Hello.
Man, well, that call dropped. I don't know what happened. Maybe they'll call back. But if anybody else is on, anybody else is listening on Facebook Live, if you would like to call in, if you want prayer, if you want to just comment on what you heard so far, the message, please call in. I'm going to stick around for maybe another 10 minutes. If nobody calls, then we're going to go ahead and shut it down. I see you, Sylvia. I don't know if you're still there. Ruby from the UK, and Rosetta, God bless you. I don't know if you're still there. Hey, for those who are still there on Facebook Live, hey, 646-668-8468 is a call in, 646-668-8468. Hey, real quick, I want to just, you can see, I was trying to find something. I had posted something up yesterday, and I know what I wanted to share. Friends, if you got a, for you ladies and brothers or people who have kids and teenagers, hey, you need to check I know a lot of these young folks, weed now is no big deal to some families and parents, but friends, there is some stuff out here right now. I was looking at some stuff on YouTube. They got some synthetic marijuana out here. They got some stuff out here called flocka, where folks are literally being demonically possessed, demonically used by the enemy. And I'm telling you, friends, don't be letting your kids smoke some of this stuff, because, hey, people are getting killed. People are being killed by the some of the stuff that they smoking and taking in. Flocka, and it was a synthetic marijuana that kind of wrapped up and packaged. You know, hey, Satan knows what he's doing. So he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't help him. Don't help him. You letting your kids smoke weed, and you don't know what the heck they smoking nowadays. This stuff ain't like it was back in the day. Yeah, back in the 80s, I used to indulge in some marijuana. But I'm telling you, friends, now, hey, as a Christian, that's not something we should be involved in anyway, because it's sorcery. The word for sorcery is where we get our English translation, the Greek word pharmakia comes out of that, which is the English word for pharmaceuticals. So if you're allowing your child, sons and daughters to come in your house and smoke this junk, friends, hey, I'm telling you, you don't know what the heck they're smoking, and some of this stuff is lethal, as well as I think it's a portal for demonic spirits, bottom line. Because I was watching some of these videos, and if you go on YouTube and just look at some of just look up flocka, this new drug that's on the market, you got people jumping through windows of cars, running down the street butt naked. Friends, this is demonic. This is demonic, and kids are just smoking anything that you give them now. Oh, that's some good stuff. And they're lacing this stuff with all kinds of stuff. I remember when I was growing up, PCP was a big drug, and it had some very, very potent effects on the people breaking handcuffs, even in zip ties. They were breaking zip ties. You know you got to be under some fault. See, demons are not like us, friends. And when you open yourself up for these drugs being drunk and opening yourself up, you basically are not human anymore, because demons use you as a portal. They use you as a way to destroy and kill. So I'm telling you, friends, don't play with this stuff. If you know somebody that's smoking these things or involved with some of these synthetic drugs, hey, please, 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 warn them, and hey, call somebody for help. Get them some help. 646-668-8468. It's 328, and we're going to hang around for a couple minutes maybe. But if nobody calls in, hey, we're going to go ahead and cut it off. We'll come back tomorrow if the Lord says the same. I apologize for the different cutoffs on my app. I don't know what's going on with my internet. I have to call these people up and get them to come out here and look at this, but my Wi-Fi has been really giving me some problems and stuff. So I want you guys to just pray for that as well. Hey, when you ain't got no money, when your money's funny, you can't really do too much. But, hey, I believe the Lord will provide. I stand on his word by faith and believe that, hey, we'll get some money in here so we can do some things that we need to do. Amen? So, hey, I see you there, Theta. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, again, friends, I want to encourage you. Let's be paramedics for God. Look, if I care, look, at one time I was so selfish and self-centered, friends, and I didn't care about nobody but work myself. But I'm telling you, friends, you know, when God comes in and you start to realize that our value outside, our value apart from God means nothing, but our value with God means everything. So it's important for us to be ready and equipped to be able to share this message of hope. I just want you to know, friends, you can't get to heaven sleeping with the devil. You know, you can't be married to Jesus and having an affair with Satan. And it's right now, it's time for us to get our house in order, spiritually speaking, friends. Look at the world around us. Look at all that's going on. And see, these terrorists, all last week they was in a foreign country. They're coming here soon. We're going to have more terrorist attack here. Just keep on watching. Keep on. You can walk around here with your eyes, your head in the sand if you want to. But friends, it's time for us to get our house in order spiritually. America is the biggest apostate there is, because we no longer fear God, the true biblical God. And God is saying, well, if you don't fear me now, you'll be crying for me later. So it's time for us to get our house in order. If you don't know what that means, please contact me. I will help you. I will walk you through the ABCs of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Because if you die today, can you honestly say, if I die, that I'm going to spend eternity with God? Can you honestly say that? If you can't stand on the word of God with that, and biblically say that I know by faith that I'm walking with God, then you're not walking by faith. You're walking in a fictitious fairy tale land. It's time for us to get it right. Because Jesus is coming back. But he's only coming back for his bride. He's not coming back for people playing church. He's coming back for the church. Amen? So, hey, I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick. Let me give it one more opportunity. 646-668-8468. If you want to call in right now, 646-668-8468. I'll give somebody a minute to call in. Nobody calls in, we're going to go ahead and cut it off. And we'll be back here tomorrow if the Lord says the same. All right. Let me see. Guess we're not going to have anybody that's going to bless us today, but hey, it's okay. Still love you. God loves you more, though. I want you guys to know that. But hey, guess what? It's all about Jesus, not about me. My life ain't about me.
My life is not my own, no, it's about me, but me. No
Like a shit. Father God, I got this gypsy, this is bad, it got me fighting for a Google cover.
verbal affirmation. I know how to treat a woman, know how to fix an engine to keep the car running. So now I'm looking at the media and I'm following what they feed me. Trash dogs, whoever won't believe me. Even though they lie, they still tell me that they love me. They say I'm good at bad things, at least they're proud of me.
I'm going to take it.